Blog Talk Radio.
We shall exalt him for
Ya Shirala, Ahaya, Alahaya Nawa, Ahaya. Shema Yashirala Ahaya Alahayinawa Ahaya Shema Yashirala Ahaya Alahayinawa Ahaya
Shalom, shalom, hello family, hello. Oh my goodness, it has been much too long, wouldn't you say? Welcome, welcome to Restoring Your Daughters of Zion, GOCC's first women's show designed with you, my people, in mind. The first two musical interludes that you heard were, as usual, the Song of Moses, Exodus 15, in its entirety. And our dedication, the Shema, that's Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. I'm your host, Sister Shirley, and co-hosting and host Carol. Are you there?
I'm here. Shalom, everyone.
Yay, shalom, shalom. It almost feels strange to be back. I feel like I've been a bad girl, you know. And, you know, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful. It was very difficult logging in today. Very difficult. I had all kinds of trouble. But you know what? We pressed on and pressed on, and I sent the wrong number out first, and then I noticed errors in the translation. And you know what? I can't do nothing about it. It's done. So it's out there, but at least we are back. Hello, friends, Romans, and countrymen. You know, whole nine, right? Oh, boy. I'm glad to be here. All right, but we are coming to you live via Blog Talk Radio International. If you want to be a part of this roundtable, to ask a question, to make a comment, dial in for yourself at 515-605-9327. That's 515-605-9327. You can also simply listen in by going to the Blog Talk webpage. Now, you can listen in on your phone also, but it's always good to get into the host queue. Press 1, get into that host queue and join the conversation. Don't be scared. We can't see you. We don't know who you are. It's all good. Press that 1 and get in. Or you can send us a private email at restoringthedaughtersofzion@gmail.com. We'll get to it. All right. So, like I was saying, you can go to the Blog Talk webpage and look for GOCC Church, and then you can find all our episodes there. You can listen in, but that's no excuse. We need you here, and now we want you right here at the round table so we can talk. All right. So, Sister Betty, are you with us? I think I'm going to have to tag her. Let me see. Sister Karina, are you here? Sister Karina, are you with us? Okay, I'm going to have to pull these people because I have not talked to them in a moment's time. But at any rate, Carol, in the meantime, why don't you take us before the throne of grace and let's get this show on the road, okay?
Well, it is an absolute pleasure to be back because
when
music started playing, I almost didn't know what was going on. It was like it's been so long since I've heard that. And
I know, right?
It was just very weird. But anyway, thank you, most Heavenly Father, for allowing us another day to be able to come together, Father.
Yes.
Thanking you tonight for, first of all, to have let us come through the Feast of Tabernacles, Father. That was a glorious, holy day. And I'm learning, Father, to appreciate the holy days that you've given us and to try and understand what they all mean. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm ashamed of my behavior when I say things like, I don't like camping. I did not appreciate the fact that you were showing us so much and inviting us to the wedding feast. And I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for this night. I thank you for this opportunity for us to once again come before your throne, Father, to once again to invite all of us ladies to you together. May this program tonight be a blessing, that edification will come, and that you may grow and be magnified in
yes.
this program, that we may be reduced and simply ignored, because our words are nothing in comparison to the oracles of the Most High. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we ask that anyone that is in need of prayer tonight, that you will answer those prayers as we come and place our petitions before you, Father. And I will ask as always for you to touch some of the ones that are in our bodies, our congregations, who are indefinitely in need of physical touches and even financial touches, Father.
Yes.
Some of the people in our congregation really need to know that you are the answer and that faith does come. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Father. We haven't seen the results, but we know they're coming, Lord. Blessed is he that believes and cannot see. Father, we thank you so much for this program.
We
pray.
Come on.
And I did want to read a scripture.
Go right ahead.
Psalms 23. And the reason for it has a lot to do with what we want to talk about tonight.
All right. Go ahead.
He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake.
Amen.
Then though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Show
me goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
What wonderful words those are. What wonderful words of love. You know, it's like that part which you just read. Hold on one second. Sister Aura, are you here? I think I see
Shalom.
You.
Shalom.
Hey, can you press on so I can find you? Sister Aura,
yes.
Press on so I can find you. That's okay. I may have to close you out and put you back in. Okay, hang on. Go ahead. Press one. Press one now. Get into the host queue. And then I can find you. Yes, found. Wonderful. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. So when we talked about, there was several verses in that psalm that you read. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I'm going to tell you, that's a tall order right there. And our soul, you know, our soul speaks, you know, our spirit speaks. We can say we fear no evil. But that flesh of ours be trembling, you know. That flesh of ours. And what I find is that even though we fear, even something simple like when I get up before the audience to sing, or when I press the mic to speak, everybody thinks, yeah, Sister Shirley, she's out there. No, I am afraid. I'm a coward and I'm very shy. You just don't know it. But in my heart and in my soul, I have to tell myself, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I just focus on the Most High God, and then I can do it. And that's how we get by, because if I look at everybody out there and keep focusing on what I'm really up against, I fail. It's almost like when Peter began to walk on the water, he was good until he looked at his surroundings. You know, once he had his eyes on Christ and he had his head set like a flint, he was walking on water. But then all of a sudden, wait, what am I doing? Wait, how, you know, and then he started to fail. But thanks be unto the Most High God. And that reminds me of, I got stories up the gazoo, when I was taking my swimming lessons. And I was afraid then, because I'm always afraid. And so I had to swim across 20 feet of water. And I was good until they told me that the other end was 20 feet deep. Right where I was, it was only 6 feet. But at the end, it was 20 feet. Now I'm panicking in my soul because I really don't know how to swim, at least as far as I'm concerned. I could paddle to move a little, but I could not turn my head to get air because I would just start going down. I don't know, my body is like lead. And so I said, okay, I got a good push off. And I started to swim, and the instructor was right by my side. But just before I got, you know, I just gave up because I couldn't hold my breath any longer. And I just gave up and let go. And she grabbed my arm and said, what are you doing? Because I was just going down. And she grabbed my arm, and then my arm reached out, and I was like 2 inches away from the end. I was right there. But I had given up because I lost faith and I had lost air. But it's just like Christ was right there to stop Peter. You understand? When Peter was speaking, he was right there by his side, and he stopped him from going down. And she stopped me from going down, because the Lord is always with us, and he takes care of us, even though we are in fear. Because I'm telling you, I was afraid. And I oftentimes hear people say, yeah, well, you know, perfect love. You're not in perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. But you're right. I'm not. I'm working. I'm trying to get that perfect love. I'm trying to. And as long as I'm in this flesh, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how I can make that perfect. But I'm going to fight the good fight. And guess what?
Amen.
I'm gonna do it scared. Whatever it is, I got to do. I'm going to do it scared. You just got to go. So I just wanted to throw that in there because it was just on me when you said that scripture. So Carol, listen.
I want to add a little something to that.
Go ahead, go ahead.
When my children were younger, I made sure all of them could swim. I just said that my babies are going to know how to swim.
Wonderful.
Just because it's so important to know how to swim. You just never know when you may need that, but. My youngest one taught herself to swim.
That's so funny.
She just got out in that pool at the YMCA and just, I'm learning too. You know, she's just has that personality that says, if it can be done, I'm doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so we went down to Atlanta to visit my sister. And They have those man-made pools, swimming pools, mm-hmm. swimming pools, oceans or lakes or whatever they're called, man-made beaches or something. Mm-hmm. And it actually shows you the how deep the water is where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And she went into the water, and I was so scared because I couldn't swim. I couldn't help her if she got in trouble. And she goes and stands and swims over there by the sign that says 15 feet. I'm smiling. God. But I'm dying inside. Practically begging in my heart, please, Father, please hold on to my baby, because even though she wasn't afraid, she was just flapping and you know, treading that water like it was nothing. And she came back and she said, "I did it, Mommy, I did it." And I just
yeah. Amazing. Amazing.
They don't have that fear. They just don't. But
I think that's why the scripture tells us we have to become like children.
Yes.
We have to become like children, where we have that trust in God, where we just go ahead and do it anyhow, you know? And I'm not saying that they're not always not afraid, because, you know, if Daddy said come, we're coming, you know?
That's
if
right.
If Daddy said jump. And I remember, and I tell you memories. When I came in the house, and that same little girl that you're talking about, that same little girl, she was standing at the top of the stairs. We're talking 15 steps
stairs.
Up. And I held my arms out. I said, "Kelly." And she said, "Aunt Shirley." And she dived. She jumped from 15. She knew I was going to catch her. I almost died. When that girl hit me with all that weight that she had, but I caught her. I knew I had to catch her, but she had faith like crazy. She wasn't afraid, and she dived down those stairs. I don't think I've recovered yet, honestly, but still.
I know your arms haven't, right? Because I'll tell you, something like that
hits you. Childlike faith that we're ready to take that leap of faith because God said so. Do we trust God like that? Do we trust God, the Father, like that? That when he says something, we believe it? Do we know he's standing there to catch us? It's a hard pill, ain't it?
Yes,
it's
it is.
A hard pill at this juncture in our lives. But go ahead, Carol. We're going to get started. I see a few people already in the host, and I'm glad in the key. And we'll bring them in and let them tell their story, because it's been so long since we've been together. If we just talk tonight, we're on. Okay? So, Carol, why don't you just go ahead?
Okay, I just want to add something else to that thing about trust,
mm-hmm.
the faith of a child. Donnie McSorkin had a song out called "I'll Trust You, Lord." And I used to listen to that and cry, really. I mean, because I know that the words he's saying, I'm saying to myself, do I trust you, Lord, like that? And he says, what if you call me and don't feel me near you? Will you still trust me? What if I tell you to let go out of everything that you think you have to hold? Will you trust me? Yes, I'll trust you, Lord. What if it costs my life? Yes, I'll trust you, Lord. What if I lose the very thing I love so dear? Yes, I'll trust you, Lord. Somebody say, yes, I'll trust you, Lord. And you know, those are some, we say those words, but do we really mean them like that?
Amazing, amazing.
Do we really feel like we'll trust him and keep going?
It's
really something to think about. It is really, really trust and faith in the Most High, knowing that he's looking out for us and that he has the very best for us.
And I love
even
the saying that.
In our sins.
And I love the saying that, you know, we always say, I got you, when we ain't got nothing. You know, the Most High says, I got you. He means it. He means it. I got you. And if we could just feel that and rest in that spirit of I got you, oh, my goodness, we could do a lot more. And sometimes I wonder, though, would we become cocky? And would we become, you know, like we, yeah, well, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because we always seem like we have to be under the lash before we can do what's right. That we have to stay that humble and stay that, do you got me, God? You know, one of them things.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, I want to get started on the show and I want to bring in some of these callers, but I want you to read that first article before we get into our subject for tonight, which is the signs of the judgment. Because the Lord knows the signs of the judgment are all around us. But yet and still spend our time fighting, having offenses, letting little things aggravate us. We don't talk about that tonight. But go ahead, Carol. Read that article before we get. Go ahead.
Okay, first I want to start out with this little thing about something I read on a package of food that I was eating. Mm-hmm. And I know you gave these things up. You gave up potato chips.
Listen, with much intrepidation, trust me. But go ahead.
So I was sitting in the car. I was waiting for my husband to come out, and I was gnashing on some potato chips. And if I can just get this thing to act right. Here we go. I just happened to read the back of the bag, and it said, contains bioengineered food ingredients. The ingredients from canola, corn, and sugar, and they come from genetically modified crops. And I said, oh, wow, GMO, and I'm sitting here eating these things like it's all right, because notice it's in the back and it's small print, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now I know one thing about drug products, because I work at a pharmaceutical company, and I also worked on a call center line where it was all medical, and we would always have to talk about the black box information on the product, because the call center was clinical trials, and people always wanted to know what's in the black box, what's the warning.
Mm-hmm.
And the bag of potato chips had a black box. I'm saying to myself, now, what in the world would a bag of potato chips have a black box for? So let me read it to you. It says, warning. Consuming this product can expose you to acrylamide, which is known to the state of California to cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a bag of potato chips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I know what acrylamide is? Yes, I do. I remember when I worked at the pharmaceutical company, and one of the chemists said to me that when you go into stores and they have these foods that have been fried in grease that has been repeated and repeated, on the food something forms, which is acrylamide. So you go in the stores and you eat French fries that have been put in grease that have been cooking all day. At almost every store that we get fast food from, is that not the case?
Mm.
So what, all of those foods should really have this label on the back that says, warning, exposure to this can cause cancer. And I just wanted to share that with everyone. You can look on the back of your potato chip box. I'll tell you which one that one is if you want me to. This is Tom's Mesquite Barbecue Potato Chips. Now, I didn't look at any of their other products because I just happened to have that bag in the car with me, but I am never eating that again, and I'm telling you, I'm really, really rethinking this fried food thing, this old grease, because those stores don't change that grease every time they make a new batch of French fries or whatever. They're just slapping that stuff in there and going for it. So I wanted to share that with the family.
All right. There's a lot of people in the host queue. I just want to press a couple of buttons and see if they're ready to speak or if they're just kind of hanging out in there, okay? So let's bring in area code 347. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. What say you? Area code 347, feel free to speak and talk about some of the things that we're talking about or bring us a message. All right, area code 347 is quiet. Let's try area code 443. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Folks, is quiet. You've got your hand raised, 443. I'm dragging you in here. We never bring them in this early. Okay, I'm going to just try a couple more, see if anybody has the chutzpah. Area code 585. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Hey, Shalom, how are you?
I am blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya.
All right.
But, you know, this is my very first time calling in, okay. So I just came in, so I'm kind of behind on everything. So
that's all right,
listen.
Sister. Welcome. Okay, I'm going to put you back in the queue, and if you press 1, you'll get out of the host queue, and then you'll just be online, but that's fine, okay? All right,
okay.
So but welcome, and if you want to speak, press 1 again, and we'll bring you back in, okay? All right.
Shalom.
What a wonderful thing that is. Okay. All right. And I think I have one more here that I'm going to press. Area code 484. Area code 484. You're on the phone with the Daughters of Zion.
Hey, Shalom, Sister Shirley. It's Uncle
Shalom,
Daddy.
How are you?
Hey. Is that Jenny?
Huh?
Who is that?
Can you? Sister Ali.
Oh, oh hey, how you doing?
Hey. How you doing? I'm glad you guys are back. Yay.
I know. All right.
Yeah,
sis,
it's been a while.
All right. If you want to tell us something, we're going to let you go ahead on, but otherwise we're going to put you back in the host queue, okay?
Yeah, no, for
sure.
Say again, Carol?
Yeah. No, I said, do you have something for us, sis?
Oh, yeah, I do. I mean, you know, it's hard because when you're talking about the food and when you brought that up, it kind of it just kind of like resonated with my spirit because my son has food allergies to certain things,
mm-hmm.
and he cannot
mm-hmm.
eat it. And I find that the amount of food that I used to be able to buy for him is getting the pool is getting smaller and smaller, where I am now I'm forced to kind of like make and cook things myself at home. You know,
that's the funniest thing you ever said. You are forced to make and cook
yes.
food at home. Do we even realize what we're saying? You know, this buying food out in the street is like new. You know, I read a scripture, and it said to put back the old. Goalpost? It wasn't goalpost. It said the old landmark.
Not to remove the old landmark.
He said, do not remove, but one was saying also to put them back because we remove those landmarks and the things that the Most High has set in stone for us. And then we wonder why we're sick and we're wondering why we're not faring well. But we're so indoctrinated in this world that we look at things that way. Like, I was forced to go home and make my own hamburger. All right.
You know, I mean, in my case,
it's all right,
in my case,
I'm in it too.
I know, but in my case, I'm a single mom, so I don't have the.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm going to take that, but still, you're right. But at the end of the day, I do. I work an 8-hour job. I work in construction. It's hard, you know, and then I have to come home.
I understand it. You know, some of us are retired, and we still don't have the strength to do it. I know. I know. You know why? Because it's right there. My daughter Giovanni is going back to farmland and everything she makes with my hand, and I watch her and kneading that dough and all that. She's crazy. But that's where it tastes so good, and you know exactly what's in it.
Yes.
All right. We're going to move on Thanks for that, sis. I'm going to put you back in the
for sure.
All right, all right. Blessings to her. And Sister Ori, you're still out there, right? I don't see Karina and I don't see Sister Betty, but we're going to keep on going, okay? So we're going to talk about Judgment Day. We're going to talk about it because Judgment Day is, the signs of the judgment are all around us, all around. Carol, take it, because I got to, this is Bishop calling me, okay? Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, I just wanted to, I found an interesting article, and it's about why sin is fun. And I'm just going to read the beginning of it because I thought it was interesting, okay? So why is sin fun? It says, some think being a Christian is all well and good, but you still have to live a little, right?
Mm-mm-mm.
What does this sentiment say about the perception of where life is found? The world says that life comes from sin, the partying lifestyle of binge drinking, uninhibited sexuality, and recreational drugs. This is life. Buying things you don't need with money, you don't have to impress people you don't like. This, no restrictions, no consequences, and no guilt. This is life. Breaking all the rules, taking all you can, faking all you have to. This is life. The Bible, on the other hand, says sin brings death, not life like the world teaches us, right? So who's right? Who are you going to believe? The irrefutable fact is sin can make you feel alive, and you guys know what we're talking about. You think you're alive, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It can give you a rush, a high, and a sense of invulnerability. In the face of temptation, your heart races. You know, get ready to cheat. Your head spins. Your palms sweat as you wonder, can I get away with this? It's part of the fun. Indeed, the very first sin was supposed to bring death, but Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit and kept on living, but we know they died spiritually. They got away with it for a little while. And that's the rub. The theoretical life that sin offers is fleeting. It's life in the moment and guilt or denial or both in perpetuity. I'm just going to read this last little bit. Of course, there's a logical reason why sin has an immediate payoff. It has to, or no one would sin. If you haven't discovered quite yet, someday you will. Satan wants to destroy you. He doesn't want to show you a good time or take the pressure off or set you free. He comes to do one thing, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his end game, literally, plain and simple. So to persuade you to destroy yourself, he appeals to your pride, your greed, your lust, or your selfishness, offering immediate gratification, because that's the only kind he has to offer. He might promise fun, release excitement, maybe vengeance, escape, or just plain numbness, whatever carrot he needs at the end of the stick.
Oh my God. And you know,
and that's
you almost
the truth.
You have to take a deep breath when you hear that. Because when you're listening to what you're saying, strength builds up in you. And you can feel like, I'm not about to do those things.
Yeah.
But when the temptations are pointing your way, things that so easily beset you, you know? It's like that movie that we watched called Painkillers.
Yes.
I recommend that everybody watches it because it certainly has to do with the signs of the judgment. And one of the things that they mentioned on there was these demonic people, they didn't call themselves bad, but that's what they, dealing with demons and spirits. They said you either work with their pleasure or their pain. Because if you can get people that are in pain, you can almost get them to do anything if you're in pain. Now, I know when I was having my first child and they came in there and they offered me a painkiller, and I tell you right now, I would have signed anything they had to get out of that pain. Because when you're in pain, you make bad decisions. You make bad decisions. And so they know when you're in pain, you really have to focus hard on the Most High God, because that pain goes away after a while. And you can forget about pain. And that's, you know, sometimes that's a good thing, because if we didn't forget about pain, I don't think we'd ever have another child, you know. But we forget about the real pain that came, and it allows us to go back on that road again. And when we get back on that road again, oh, like, it's like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did this. But the thing is that the real hard part is suffering through not doing it again, like getting high, the pain of when you are going through a withdrawal and being able to get through, because you can get through that withdrawal. You can get through it. Pain of not picking it up again, whatever it is, whether it's a drug, whatever kind of sin that it is besetting you, whether it's fornication, whether it's overindulgence in food, the hard part is that control, that control that the Holy Spirit has to give you, that self-control. And that's why a lot of times people fail, that move away from the addiction, but they don't replace it with the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to replace it with the Spirit of the living God, because if you don't fill up on that, you're going to fall again.
Mm-hmm.
Likelihood to fall again in the battle. The battle, it's an ongoing battle. I know people that have had addictions that are not even suffering anymore. And then there are some that are still suffering, people that have been tempted with these last days of time, the stuff. The scripture says our hearts would be failing us for what's coming upon the earth. And you have people that have tested out homosexuality.
Yes.
They tested it out. What a war and a battle is going on inside their soul that they almost can't shake it loose. That's when you need the Holy Spirit. And you can't talk to people and tell them what that is unless you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what that is until you have that Holy Spirit inside of you that helps you. I think that's why the Most High calls it the Comforter. Calls her the Comforter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he gives you that comfort when you're struggling and suffering, going through that pain. It's not simple. And then the other thing he says, not just the pain, but the pleasure. Pleasure seeking. What does that scripture say? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
Amen.
That we would be there. We would be there. So we want to talk about, where are we right now with this judgment that's up against us? We know judgment, the signs are there. Let's talk about some of those signs that are in our face, that we know are there, and yet we still have time to battle with each other. We still have time to cry. Yeah. We still have time to be angry with one another. We have time to do those things. And you wonder why. Why do we have time to do those things if we really know the signs of the judgment are there? Do we really believe that the signs of the judgment are really there? Do we really believe that? Got to ask that question. There are a couple of people in the host queue. Let's ask some questions here. Pull up. Area code 757. Area code 757. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Is that Karina?
No, this is Sister Claudette.
How you doing, Hello. Sister Claudette?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Good to hear you. Good to hear you.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Ma'am.
Go ahead.
When you brought up the topic of Adam, so I'm actually reading the Lost Books of Eden. And I was last week, Satan's statement to Adam, and he was telling him that he did fall, and if you thought that I was going to give you all the things that I promised you, then, you know, basically he was saying he was crazy. So he was basically telling him that, he said, but now, O Adam, by reason of thou fall, thou art under my rule, and I am king
mm-hmm.
over thee. Thou hast hearkened to me and hast transgressed against thy God. Neither
mm-hmm.
would there be any from my hand until the day promised thee by God. Again,
mm-hmm.
he said, and as we do not know the day agreed upon was thee by thy God, nor the hour
mm-hmm.
in which thou shalt be delivered. For that reason will we multiply war, murder among thy seeds after thee. This is our mm-hmm. will and our pleasure, that we may not leave one of the sons of men to inherit our order in heaven. For as aboard, O Adam, it is in burning fire, and we would not cease our evil doing, no, not one day nor one hour. And I, O Adam, shall sow fire upon thee when thou comest into the cave to dwell there. When Adam heard these words, he wept and mourned. So after reading that, it just made me feel so much more even at peace, because I know every day we have to battle with good and evil.
Yes,
and the only I often cry when I talk to God and ask him, and I might be wrong for asking him, but what chance does us humans have when we got dark forces that's constantly trying to get us to sin against God? So when people ask me questions like that, I tell them the only thing we can do is suit up and keep the gospel gun with you at all times. And I call my
mm-hmm.
gospel gun is my. And the more I read the Book of Eden, the more I learn, the more I have so much understanding to what is in store for us humans. And all we can do is pray and just hold on to the truth of knowing that this pain we have here on earth is a temporary pain, and that God has promised us an eternal life. And we just have to try to stay away from the devil's path, because his path seems so tasteful. But at the end of it, when I see a lot of violence around me in my neighborhood, I tell people when they ask why, with me being an Uber driver, a lot of people ask me a lot of questions, why. And all I can tell them that I don't believe in being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I believe that you had no business there, because
mm-hmm.
you can't make good evil and you can't make evil good. So when you know a place is gone
let
for
me bring
violence,
this to you, sister. I want to bring this to you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to start there. And it says, For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. See, so a lot of times we think that, yeah, we suffering down here, this is hard, and that's what we have to do. We've got to suffer through it. And so when you see people that have given in to it and have given it a different name, you know, I'm just like that. That's just that part of me. No. You really have to suffer through and get rid of that old man. Just as he said, as Christ have suffered in the flesh. And it seems like well, what can we do? We got this adversary that's after us. But guess what? Our weakness, our strength, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. You understand that? So we go ahead on and we let them think they're beating the crap out of us, because it looks like we are going through and we're suffering. But guess what? Judgment day is around the corner. Your redemption draweth nigh. And that's right. What we got to see. Go ahead, sister. I'm going to let you finish talking.
I want to share something with her also. What's your name again, sis?
Claudette,
yeah. You said that we have to pray and that's all we can do. And I know you didn't mean it like that, but I know that we all have a tendency to say, all I can do is pray, sis. And the scripture says, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 10, mm-hmm. and I'm going to start at verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the mm-hmm. weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having mm-hmm. a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts in himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. And the reason mm-hmm. that I'm saying that is when we look at prayer, that we always say that's all we can do. Do we absolutely realize that that's the most powerful weapon that we have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we should get out of the habit of saying, you know, sis, that's all I can do. You know what I'm saying? That's all. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that because I'm guilty of it. I know you're guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. You know, that's what we always say. That's all I'm left with is to pray for the person. And we're really helping them way more than anything else. Because we're calling on a God that raised Christ from the grave. You know, a God that spoke
his name
into existence. Not some puny God that's standing up on a statue somewhere that has, as the scripture says, can't move or do anything. It's not really a God, but we serve God, because our God is God. And that's all I wanted to say.
Go ahead, sister. You got some more you want to add? Claudette?
No, ma'am.
All right. Well, be blessed.
Was wonderful.
Thank you for
that. And I bless that scripture that she read was just awesome.
It was. Awesome. It was. Absolutely. Thank you for that.
And really,
glad to have you back. I'm going to put you back in the host.
Yes.
Back in the queue. All right. Yeah.
Yes.
So I think that, you know, when we start talking about Judgment Day that's coming, there's so many things that we need to focus on. And that's that Judgment Day is, you know, like I mentioned when we were delivering that child, because the scripture says it come upon us like travail, you know, like you're having a baby. But one of the wonderful things about having a baby is, number one, you knew there was an end to it. And you knew there was something that was good coming after you went through all that pain. And so we know that if we can persevere, if we can hold on, if we can walk upright, that we will make it into the kingdom.
That's right.
Or do we know that? Do we know that? Because we stumble along here acting like Christ is not coming back. We are,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've lost sight of these are the last days, because the times are so evil and the travail is so much worse that sometimes it's like you feel like you want to just beat your head up against the wall. You know, with the things that are going on around us. And so we have to press on. We have to press on. And, you know, Sister Aura, when you see the stuff going on around you, how does that make you feel? Does it make you feel like, you know, Christ is coming, or does it make you feel like Christ isn't coming?
Well, yes and no. It also lets you know that the time is drawing near, because these are the signs that he's already told us about. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, still feel like, wow, you know, what, you know, it's like, how I got to get myself in order. You know what I'm saying? So you're still kind of, you're almost torn between two worlds, and what always grabs you back are these scriptures that you have to hold on to. It brings you back to, because when you decided, no, I'm going to give up or whatever, you remember that small, still voice inside of you that says, keep holding on, you know, or you call one of your sisters or somebody that can bring you back on earth, bring you back to the truth. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, sometimes you're going through some stuff so bad, don't get the wrong person talking, because then you will slip into something that you shouldn't slip in. So we always got to keep that end in mind, and that's the best way. That's what really will keep you going, just knowing that the end is drawing near, and that if you hold on, you will be able to get through and persevere and make it through.
Well, you know, you hear so much talk right now out there where you have everybody, you know, saying how, you know, you see some of these women that are making statements about their lives and how they're not putting up with this and they're not putting up with that. And, you know, it's like, I'll listen to one little video clip today, and this sister was explaining how, you know, women get out there and they're bragging about how they took care of five kids and how they could carry, you know, this on their back and that on their back. And now the men that come around expect them to be like their grandmother Lois and all the rest of them that could do those things. And the men are not coming up higher. And why aren't they? I'm telling you right now, we don't even have time to think about that.
Well,
we only have time to look at, are we going to make it in? Keep looking at yourself, because the scripture says, all that the hand finds to do, do with thy very might. And if we stop and start looking at why is he not doing, or why is she not doing, that's when we start falling. That's when we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. Isn't there like annoy a parent to death when you tell a child something to do? Why? Well, what about Mary? She didn't do nothing. It's like, how are you asking me about Mary? I'm talking to you, you know? And that's, it's almost like we have to look at this whole world as it is our own microcosm, that everything that's happening around us is about us. That these people, the wicked people, are here about us. They're here to try us and to keep us from getting into the kingdom. If we keep seeing it like that, that the judgment day is coming and all these things that have possessed and tried to break our stride, if we keep looking at it like it's all about us, that's the only way we're going to make it in. If we keep looking at everybody else's hand, I'm going to tell you right now, we're never going to get into the kingdom like that. We'll never get in. I'm going to bring in another caller.
But let me just say this. Let me just say this, Cheryl.
Go ahead.
Funny thing is that when you're standing before the Most High, the mercy, the judgment seat, you can't bring up somebody else.
That's right.
So why are we doing it now? Look at so-and-so. They ain't, you know. Like some people that drink, they'll say, well, that guy drinks more than me, you know?
Yeah,
but when we stand before the Most High, we have to stand on our own 2 feet on what we've done.
But, you know, just like Christ said, he's left us examples to follow.
We know about
those people that suffered, because when you hear about all those disciples, they died a horrible death. You know, they were all martyred. And he was boiled, so I don't even know what to say about that. But anyway,
I know.
And then exiled. So I'm saying these are our examples, not the people in the world. We're supposed to be following these people because Christ suffered. We are to suffer too. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit. We are going to suffer now. You know,
long
this is not
suffering.
Like Christ said, he said that this is not his world down here, or he could have, you know, 10,000 angels come and rescue him. But he suffered through because he knew what the end was going to do. And that's the same way we have to realize that our end is going to be rewarding. And we have to suffer through.
Yes.
Because he says, think it's not strange that some fiery trial has come upon you. You know, like we always think it's something strange happening, but this is what's supposed to happen. You know, I had somebody say to me, I can't do this because all the Christians I know, all I see is them suffering. And yeah, we're suffering. I used to watch my mother suffer because of all the things that were going on, and she was just walking and praising God. And I said, what in the world? I wouldn't let that happen to me. And, you know, but she was enduring till the end, and she was acting like Christ. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
She was acting like the Christ in her, and that's what we're here for. We're here to show the people we're not like them. We are persevering. That's what our job is.
And we have to be that light. Let's look at Philippians 2:5-11. Philippians chapter 2:5-11. Can you get that, Carol?
I'm going to pull it up now.
This was Philippians 2.
So you said Philippians?
Philippians 2:5-11. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm ready.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
Who being in the form of God.
Let's just stop right there. Let's just slow down. So let this mind be in you, meaning we got to start thinking like Christ.
Yes.
We have to start. From right there, our mind, we have to capture our mind. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
Which was also in Christ Yeshua, which being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men.
Okay, hold up. Let's look at that, Carol. Because here we have Christ who has come from, he's divine, you know? He's up there working with the Most High, and he came down here and thought it not robbery. Now, you know, sometimes when we're home and we're dealing with situations, don't you sometimes be humbled sometimes when people start acting like, you know, asking you to do things that seem to be beneath you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, how you coming over here talking that? But Christ said he made himself of no reputation. Now, this is our Savior that did this. We got to let him up. How can we bring ourselves down to that point where, and we ain't nobody compared to Christ, you know, that we, who do we think we are that we feel like this is beneath me, that I don't have to go this route? No, we have to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Yeshua. Keep going, Carol.
All right. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Now, if that ain't suffering, I don't know what is. And the scripture right in the beginning, it said, let this mind be in you.
Right.
So that has to be how we are, that we're willing to suffer, so we don't have time to have offenses with people. We don't have time for that. But keep reading.
No, we don't.
Keep reading.
I want to add this to that. think about it, he said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the mm-hmm. death of the cross. Mm-hmm. And the death of the cross was the most humiliating, mm-hmm. that you would have your own creation whipping you, beating you.
Oh my God.
And calling you names and telling you to save yourself.
If you want to even think about something close to that, think of your child coming in there and slapping you in your face.
Oh my God!
Now, you know, I'm thinking now somebody's going to jail tonight. Maybe somebody's going to the morgue because you came in here and slapped me and say what, my child? And so this is really what is happening here that you just brought out, Carol, that mm-hmm. we are sitting here crucifying our Savior. Okay? Go ahead.
Wherefore, have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
Amen.
That is the name of Yeshua. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven and
mm-hmm.
things in earth and
mm-hmm.
things under the earth, and
mm-hmm.
that every tongue should confess that Yeshua Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
And I'm going to tell you, he deserves that recognition. He deserves
Amen.
That high praise, because I can't even imagine what I might be like if my child come up and roll up in here and slap me, you know, while I'm in the process of trying to help them. And sometimes that's how it seems, especially if you have a child that might be on drugs or a child that might be, you know, going through some things. Because I'm going to tell you something, sometimes when children go through puberty, you don't recognize that child. They start acting like somebody you never met, especially when they have some other fancy person out there breathing in their ear and touching
mm-hmm.
them. It becomes very difficult for them to know you anymore. They've got a lot of spirits and feelings and things going on in their head. And in order for us to continue to show them Christ, and to remind them that Judgment Day is around the corner, how do we respond?
And how do we respond humbly?
That's what
how
I mean.
How do we respond humbly without screaming? You see the danger sign. You see that the street up ahead, there's no more street left. It's getting ready to have a major drop. And the child is driving the car straight on, and you're screaming, please, please. And they're laughing and continuing to drive.
Yes.
What do you do?
Yes. And so many,
I think
we can
lean on those words that Horace said a little while ago about the promises that were made that we saw in the scriptures, that he promised us. And one of the promises is that he'd be a God to us, to our children.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you know
my son actually. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When you see them in the conditions that they're in right now, it makes you want to doubt those words. Is you in your carnal, in your humanity?
Finite.
You can't
mind, yeah.
see the child turning around. But with God, all things are possible, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I know I've shared this before, but I have to always remember that my husband was a heroin addict.
Mm-hmm.
And when you guys watch that movie, Painkillers, you maybe begin to understand the pull that a drug like that has on you.
Mm-hmm.
The way it drives. Years ago, when I was a little girl, we'd watch those cartoons. And they'd have something like a smell, you know, like something's cooking. And they'd show the little cartoon character, and the smell would come like a hand with a finger.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would smell it and then start floating towards whatever. That is like the pull of heroin. You
once you're on it, you don't understand that drive.
Yeah.
That thing is driving you. You are compelled. And for the Most High, for him to say on his knees, and say those words, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and to get up from that floor and never to touch it again,
mm-hmm.
never to smoke a cigarette, never to drink, you carry on like that.
What a miracle that is. That is a miracle, and no one understands or knows that miracle until you have been touched by the Spirit of the living God. And that Spirit is still alive and still well, but because of all of the debauchery that's going on around us, we can't see it. And we're here tonight trying to convince us as sisters to continue to carry that torch and continue to show forth what change the Most High made in you when you came to know him. Because that's the way we're going to win others to Christ. And that's the way we're going to make it into the kingdom. Because we're not going to get there if we don't continue to press on. We're not going to bring anyone else in if we, the signs that are all around us, it's like Sister Aura said, yes and no to the answer of do you see Christ or do you feel like Christ is not coming. You're going to have those days when you feel those ways, but in order, you just got to keep on pressing on. And that's why we kind of talked about the fear factor in the beginning. Yeah, you can be afraid, but you better go ahead and continue in fear and do it anyhow. Go ahead and trust the Most High anyhow. Because in order for us to, judgment day, what would we do if tomorrow our last breath was there? These are all signs of the judgment. Pestilence, wildfires, earthquakes in diverse places. But the scripture says great tribulation would come upon the earth such as never happened before.
Right.
So we can look forward to some stuff really going down, and we haven't touched the subject yet. What are we going to do with all these signs that are coming already, and we're falling over backwards?
Right.
We're falling short right now, and we can't seem to hold on. I tell you, I have trouble just not eating bad food to the point that I literally had to make a vow to God that I wouldn't eat any more potato chips. I had to make a vow because I couldn't let it go. I was in love with potato chips. And that sounds stupid, but let me tell you.
No,
it
doesn't. It doesn't.
It was an addiction. And it had me, it had a stronghold. And let me tell you something. It ain't like I don't still want to eat them. I do. They right there,
yeah.
And I don't buy them. I don't bring them in the house. Or, you know, sometimes my husband, he does eat them. But I know one thing. It's like that vow. When you make that vow to the Most High God, he made a vow to Abraham years ago and to Isaac and Jacob. Didn't he make a vow?
He said
he would be a God to us and that he would take care of Israel, and he has not let go of that vow.
That's right.
He said he changes not, and that's why Jacob has not been consumed, because you know we deserve to be tore up. And that's the kind of emphasis and the kind of judgment that we have to deal with when we make a vow to the Most High God. When we make that vow to God, we've got to keep it. And that's why he's so serious about it, because he's kept his vow to us.
Yes, amen.
And see, the other thing we got to realize is It's not just a vow that we make for little things here and there. When we stand before the Most High, we vow to the Most High to do what we're supposed to do. In anything, we have to be very careful about making those vows. Because if we are going to be judged.
Cheryl,
go ahead.
You mentioned the promises that He made us, the good promises that He's keeping. What about the one that He says in Deuteronomy 28 that said, if we did not keep His commandments, what was going to happen to us?
Let's
look around. Let's look around and see if He kept that vow.
And you
read about every single day we see the punishment that He promised us was going to come.
I think 2 Peter 1 through 19, it talks about how we have seen and proved that prophecy is happening, that prophecy is coming true. And when we see those things, like you mentioned, Carol, that He said what would happen to us, oh my goodness, we can't convince nobody that we're the children of Israel.
That's right. They don't want
we
to hear
can't
that.
Even we can't even convince sometimes we can't even convince ourselves that it's been taken so far away from us. And He said, they said, let us take crafty counsel. What's that scripture, Carol? Let us take crafty counsel against His hidden ones. You know?
That's 83, Psalms 83.
Psalms 83. Let's look at that real quick. Psalms 83. All right.
I think got it. It says, keep not, or do you want to read that?
No, you go ahead, Carol.
Okay. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. But they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee.
Look at that.
You want me to read any more of it?
I think that's good enough. But nonetheless, it's just that the whole world is against us. We see the prophecy coming true, and almost 90% of the Bible is prophecy. You know, the rest of it is telling us how to live and watching and looking how, you know, our people fell and, you know, things came that happened to them that did what was right and that those that didn't do what was right. But the bottom line is we can rest assured that the scriptures are true. And if it said that we are in the last days, let's talk about these last days. Do you ever see in your life the bumper crop of the alphabet people? I have never, did this ever even cross your mind?
No. They used to tell us that it was a very small percentage of the population. I think overrun the straits.
Yeah,
it's like, who is not gay?
No.
You
it's
need
like
a sign, a shirt that says I'm straight.
Yeah.
There's a brother that comes on the air. I forget his name. He's one of the talk show hosts, game show hosts. And he just came out and he said he is pan gender, something like that. And that meant he's good for anything.
Yeah.
Male, female, I guess dog, cat, I don't know.
Dog,
you know,
cat.
whatever it is, he's all good with it. And he said he feels so much better now that he's been able to let that out. And my question is, why? Why does that make you feel better? Because you can tell the whole world that there's a spirit. That's what that is. Because guess what? How did you make me feel by letting me know that? How did you make your mother feel when she found out that? How did you make your
mother feel?
I
don't think they care. I don't think they care about. I think they're like sociopaths. Only one around here that pain is important or desires is theirs. Yes. Ours is a waste of time. We're not interested in that. Let me just read to you what the dictionary says a pangender is, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Please,
it
go right ahead.
Denoting or relating to a non-binary person whose gender identity encompasses multiple genders, which may be experienced simultaneously or in a fluid, fluctuating manner. A pangender person might feel they embody male and female and other genders simultaneously. Can somebody tell me what the other genders are?
I have no idea.
If you ain't
girl.
Male or you ain't female, what's the other gender? Simultaneously. Now, you know, I heard Elder Ricard the other week talking about this and saying
it's called Baphomet, but go ahead.
Tom, what'd you say, hon?
I said I think it's called Baphomet, but go ahead.
Oh. Well, he was simply saying that this seems to be the result, like, you know, we always talk about, this is a violent act that caused these people to become this way, usually.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
molested them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is the response of the brain because it's been molested and it can't face the fact that this has happened? It takes on a different personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe mm-hmm. that. This is mm-hmm. schizophrenia at its best. What in mm-hmm. the world has happened to a young man who went to bed that night and said, I'm a man, got up the next day, got raped, and now he's a woman? Something happened.
Something terrible.
Something took place.
Nothing
and for
terrible.
For them to say this is an other genders, I don't know what that other gender is because the Most High said he made them male and female. I don't know what other gender this is.
I had to drop out of my sociology class because I went back and forth with my teacher about it. And she said to me, I said, well, what's the big deal then? Pedophiles should be okay. And she said, no, pedophiles hurt people. Really? Mm. And you don't see where these other people are hurting people? Where you've been raped by someone? Someone raped you and now you are this way? It's like,
and you
okay.
celebrated. And
yeah.
you celebrated. We should celebrate the fact that somebody has been destroyed. Oh, it's an alternative. An alternative to what?
I don't understand it and how they're considering this hate. But see, I want to get back on to as it was in the days of Lot. Now, when we read those scriptures, the way the angels were out there and these men wanted to rape the angels. They crowded around Lot's door, and they were going to tear the door down. But if you read further in some of the other, in I believe it's the book of Jasher, you can, or Enoch, I can't remember which one it was, where they talked about how these things were normal, commonplace in the streets. Every day they do these things and have these wild revelries and wild parties and all that kind of stuff and people coming out and very happy. And if we're not there, it's almost like we're afraid to look at these signs. You're afraid to look and say, is this really the world we live in? But what is our response to it? Are we showing more of Christ in our life? Are we walking up to people and trying to introduce them to the Lord? Are we trying to make people see that judgment day is tomorrow? I remember when I was a little girl, there was a young, she wasn't that young, but she was a woman that would walk up and down the street and she'd see us out there playing and we'd just be having to, she'd turn to us and say, you know, you need Jesus. You know, you need Jesus. And we would just look at, you know, we'd get quiet because we knew she was right. We knew she was right. But are we doing that anymore? Are we introducing people to Christ? Are we acting like these signs are so critical that we are willing to let people know that even in the face of death, we're ready to tell you that there's a God that loves you, that you need to turn your eyes upon Christ? Are we willing?
Yeah.
Can I read you something?
Go ahead.
I'm going to read you something in the book of Jasher. Okay? And it says, Jasher 19. By the desire of their four judges, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had big erected in the streets of the city.
There you go.
If a man came to these places, they lay hold of him and brought him to one of their beds and by force made him to lie in them. And as he lay down, three men would stand at his head and three at his feet and measure him by the length of the bed. And if the man was less than the bed, these six men would stretch him at each end. And when he cried out to them, they would not answer him. And if he was longer than the bed, they would draw together the two sides of the bed at each end until the man had reached the gates of death. And if he continued to cry out to them, they would answer him, saying, thus shall it be done to a man that cometh into our land. And when men heard all these things that the people of the city of Sodom did, they refrained from coming there. Now.
Yeah, these were wicked people, Carol. Wicked, wicked, any kind of wickedness, like wicked stuff like that. I don't want to mention certain people, but don't you see certain people acting like that? Where they're willing to make sport. How when we were in the plantation, how they'd come for what they called a pick to see the looting and the hanging of a black man.
Mm-hmm.
To see that, sit around with sandwiches, and that's where the terminology came from. And we look at it and we say, well, those are the signs of the judgment. They were happening back then, they're still happening, but we got to remember one thing, that a day to God is like 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's really, the Most High is not slack concerning his promise.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that he wants us all to turn this situation around and start doing what is right. He has given us an opportunity to change. Yeah. And in the meantime, what are we doing? Go ahead, Carol.
I wanted to say this, that in Revelations 11 and 8, and I know you're saying this, it says, and it's talking about Babylon, and their dead bodies mm-hmm. shall lie in the street of the great city, which mm-hmm. spiritually calls Sodom and Egypt, where mm-hmm. also our Lord was crucified. And mm-hmm. you tell me that this isn't Sodom. And our dollar bill tells us that it's Egypt.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The breadbasket. Every country, everybody runs here because they're running out of food in different places. Oh, it's they got food in Egypt. Let's head for there.
So I want the callers to call in. And let's talk about with the next half an hour what we can do. How can we change so that people can see the light of Christ in us, that our husbands that are not saved, that are not walking with the Most High, that are not in the church, that are not professing salvation, that are not, that can see and look and say there's something different about my wife right now. She is something beautiful about her. What must I do to be saved? Isn't that what we're trying to make people say when they see us? How can mm-hmm. we do that? I'm going to ask the callers to press 1, get into the host queue. If you can tell us what we can do to make our lives more in line with the light of Christ, that we can let, you know, that these signs that we see all around us, that, you know, we can make others see that we're different. You know?
Yes.
And tell us some of the signs that you see that make you know this is the end of the world and how you're managing it. Tell us some of that. Press 1, get into the host queue and come on, talk with us about it. It could be like in your home, some of the things that are going wild in our homes right now that you and trying to cause offenses to make you fall short, to make you feel like Christ is not coming back. Mm-hmm. It should do the exact opposite. Make you feel like, oh my goodness, judgment, the liftoff is any day now. It's any day now. So press 1, get into the host queue, join the call. If you can't, let's look at Matthew 24. Carol, you want to pull up Matthew 24?
Okay.
Started, I think, 21. Let's see right then. You might want to back up, but start at 21.
For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world,
mm-hmm.
this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before.
That's the part that's scaring me the most. That they're going to probably start having holograms and all kinds of stuff that can make you think Christ is here, or that, you know, that you're seeing things that you're not seeing. I remember when I went to Orlando and we were in Disney World or one of those places, and they put those glasses, Universal Studios, yeah, and they put those glasses on me. And we were, I swear, those things were flying at us. I had to keep looking out the cracked side of my glasses to know I was still in that room and still on the ground, because it was very real. It was very real. And so, but these great tribulations that are going to be coming upon us in the last days, what do we think that's going to be? The scripture said it's going to be such as never was before on this earth. Look out. We're getting ready to go through some stuff, and we're going to have to figure out how we're going to get some strength from somewhere to stand.
Because it also, you're going to want death so bad, but death is going to flee from you. What is that?
Yes.
You know, that is a scary thing to think about. Death will flee from you.
Exactly. Now they said drought and famine and fires and floods and all those kind of things that are coming in. You know, we're seeing that in great measure here. This whole thing with this COVID stuff, and they cleared the shelves in the grocery stores. It was like, when did we ever think that there wouldn't be food on the shelf in the grocery store? There's no toilet paper. There's no this. And that was just a test.
Uh-huh.
Because the best is yet to come. And so we've got these little things that we have, and you know we're going to end up in the wilderness somewhere. Yeah. Are we ready for it? Are we ready to deal with the last days that we're dealing with? You know, I know that in, I think it was in the book of, in, he said he took some of Noah's people out of here so that they would not have to deal with the pain of what was coming upon the earth and then. And then I saw when the Most High took and flooded the earth with water, you know, you realize he actually started it all over again because we started out in water.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis, there was water. And then he separated the waters from the waters and mm-hmm. things like that. So those new beginnings, it's like, oh my goodness, it was a cleansing to the earth, a baptism.
Yeah.
Those things we you know, the parallelism in the Bible is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, the way the priests had to come before the Most High and how they had to wash all the utensils and everything. It's all about washing. And like you said, the baptism. And the way a woman was supposed to, when her period would come, to wash herself first and then go into her husband, you know, because mm-hmm. you had to be clean.
And
we know that the marriage represents Christ and the church.
Yes, yes, yes. And then when you came, when Moses and the Israelites went before the Most High God, he told them, wash your clothes and for 3 days to sanctify yourselves, clean yourselves up, and then come before the Most High. So we need to continually be cleaning ourselves up.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Physically is wonderful, but it's the washing of our souls, and Feast of Dedication is coming up on us, where we need to be ready to rededicate our lives to the Lord. If we can get ourselves cleaned up, and be ready for the judgment, because the signs of the judgment are all around us. Said men's hearts failing them. You know, let's look at lovers of pleasure. Wait, let me get that scripture. Hold on. Carol, do you remember where that's at, where it talked about those in those days?
Which one? Remember the lovers of pleasure?
Yep. Hold on, I can find it.
Second Timothy 3.
Okay. Read it. Go backwards a little bit.
Laura, can you read that?
Yeah. Is it, it says 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 17, right? That's
right.
What it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pull it up. Hold on 1 second. I'm almost there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So 2 Timothy 3, 1. Okay, it says, this also know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful.
Hold on. Let's look at that. Men shall be lovers of them, their own selves. That could mean a lot of things.
A lot.
That could mean men loving men. That could be men just so engrossed in who they are, that they are just loving, you know, it don't matter how you feel or what you think, but go ahead.
Right.
Anything so, but loving God. Mm-hmm.
Right. Proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despises those that do good.
Okay, wait now. Despises of those that do good. Now, you know, when the scripture says despises, it usually meant thinking little of. Like Esau despised his birthright. He thought very little of it. You know? So despisers of those that do good. It's like, okay, she's phony and you know it. Keep on reading.
Traitors, heavy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of the Most High.
That's the part that's really scary, that lovers of pleasure, because the scripture says the pleasures of sin are but for a season, because you know sin is pleasurable. There are things about sin that can make you feel good. Drugs, alcohol, sexual sex without marriage, fornication. What is it about when you are in an affair? Your mind is like you're somebody crazy at that time. You know? And I find it's the same kind of pleasure that a roller coaster. Now, why is that fun?
When I have no idea.
You feel like you're about to lose your life, but we're like,
can't wait to do it again.
This is some kind of strange pleasure in this world. And I often think, what will the kingdom be like? Because the way our minds are right now, it can't be this way that we think that these things are good, that they feel good.
It hasn't entered into our minds. Of course, it has. I've heard somebody say this. You can start imagining, but as soon as you imagine it, strike that, because he said it hasn't entered into our minds. So
this is very true, and I'm glad you brought that out, because I'm telling you right now, with the minds that we have right now, I'm real happy to hear that the scripture says we will be changed, you know, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, because we cannot make it into the kingdom with this kind of mindset.
No,
flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, so go ahead, finish reading that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof from such, turn away. Wait a minute. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women led away with diamonds.
That part is very sad when you hear that. Look at this.
We're all silly women, and no matter how old we get, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We still sit there and believe lies.
Well, you think about when trouble came into your life, Carol, as a young woman. Mm-hmm. It's when you start, you know, getting led around by your emotions, by mm-hmm. you see a man and all of a sudden now you can't even think straight. You are kind of a silly woman. And that's why sometimes when they think of, you know, these women, like a young man mentioned to me, no, that girl, there's something wrong with her. She needs help. She does, because she's so desperate to be with someone that she's willing to do anything. She's just willing. I know when I first met my husband, I'd have followed him to hell if he was going there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would have followed him straight there as long as I could have been by his side as a young girl, because you ain't got good sense, you know?
Right.
Say that again.
That emotional attachment, you can't explain it. It's like it's something you can't explain, and you just want it. You know what I mean? And it's scary though, because it can really take over your emotions. It can take over all your senses.
Yeah,
and the Lord has made it so that a woman secretes a certain hormone that creates an attachment to the man.
And there's nothing
he can do. And that's why you were like following him around. And I remember you were singing a song and mommy said, "Would you really?" What song was that about?
Oh, I would sell my very soul and I regret it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
To live without your love is just impossible. And we believe that.
Yeah. And we would sing it with our eyes looking up. God, I love him so much. Oh, boy.
You get an opportunity to find out what love is when you get into those relationships. But the bottom line is that regardless, you're going to go on that journey, but if you could teach those children how to behave themselves. And Carol, I was watching The Chosen, and I did see that movie before, the old movie, mm-hmm. The Chosen. And mm-hmm. here's this young man bringing this other young man into the world. Here, try this.
Yes.
Try that.
Yes.
Taste this.
Yes.
Taste that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it feel good? Doesn't in this guy here who's been kept away from all these things, that's what the world can't wait to get to your children and do.
And you know what's so funny is that, like, if you watch the Amish and they have that arranged something or other, I can't remember what the name of it is, but that's when they are turn 19, I think, and they have the ability to go out into the world. And
right.
Sometimes you feel like, thank God their child broke away. But, you know, we root for
the wrong
child.
I think it's a mistake letting them go.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But, because, you know, everybody feels you have to sow your wild oats. Every time you talk to somebody, oh, you need to let him go. You need to let him find out this. You need to let, he got to learn. You got to learn this. You know, sometimes you're just not old enough either to see some of these things.
And sometimes you can't let it go once you get it.
That's right.
You can't stop thinking about it.
That's right.
Yeah. And now with these things that are out there now, these things have permanent patterns in your brain.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like they're in our schools telling our children this and showing us all these things, showing them sexual positions and stuff like that, that homosexuals do. Why do they need to know about this?
Yeah,
why?
They don't need to know it. My God. But those
I'm gonna,
are definitely
I'm going to tell you what that, I want to read to you what that thing is called that the Amish do. It's called rumspring. In reality, the term refers to a limbo period in every Amish life when they're entering adulthood. During this period, the youth are given more freedoms to experience cultures outside their own. The Amish complete Rumspringa because they want every member of their churches to be a fully committed participant. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea
because, you know, you can wonder, just like right now, I can wonder how it feels to have, you know, like someone told me that the heroin high is the best high you've ever had in your life. So now they have oxycodone, or whichever one it is, it's the worst one. And from what I understand, it's heroin in pill form. So it's clean. Now, I don't ever need to try that. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? I don't ever need to taste nothing that's going to get me strung out. I don't care how good you say it is. Why do I need to try that? So I can constantly have a longing for it? It's not like every time when you get something, you might have a bad experience with something, and then you go, God, I'll never do that again. But it's not usual, you know? You get out there, and then, like you say, Carol, when you suppose you meet somebody on the other side of midnight out there, and now you get turned on to a different type of sex. Now you come back to your so-called reality, back to church or back to wherever, and now you want to get married, and now that thing is in your mind forever. Why do you want that? Nobody wants that. Are you guys still there? Hello? Uh-oh. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I had to put you on mute because it was
okay. Carol, are you still there?
I'm here. I had to do the same thing because a crowd came around me.
That's too funny. And it's so funny because, you know, I could feel the presence of y'all not there. That's too funny. You left me here. You left me out here, you know. Okay. But nonetheless, you know what? I just feel like I'm grateful to the Most High that we had this conversation tonight. There are people in the host queue, but I don't know whether they're not hearing us or whatever. I'm going to bring one in. Area code 347. You're on the air with the Daughters of Zion. Would you like to add to our conversation? Area code 347. Okay. You're on. Hello?
Hi, Sister Shirley. It's Sister Rolanda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I've never done this before. So when you said area code 347 the first time, I was like, I wonder if she's talking to me.
You got your hand raised in case you didn't know it.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I just called into that number, and I don't know how this works, but now I know.
That's okay.
Okay. So, shalom, everyone.
All right.
Shalom.
Okay. I just have one comment. This is a very good blog talk. I've never been on it before, but I love the lesson. And I have to just add one thing, you know, knowing that we're here and, you know, it's, you know, the judgment is upon us. I was just, you know, recently came into the church and came into the truth. And I have to say that I just thank and praise the Most High. Because all of these years, even though I was in the Christian church, I really never really understood, you know, the Bible the way I'm learning it now. And I used to be very fearful of the time that we're in now. I really, some nights I couldn't sleep. I mean, it was just on me so bad, you know. And now that I'm in the truth and learning, you know, what it really means and what we're going through and the promises that the Most High has given us, I'm actually to the point now where I'm no longer afraid.
That's wonderful.
And that is like such a huge load off of me because I never understood before. But in my prayers, I always pray to, there's a scripture in Luke 21 and 36. And it says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And I also pray, you know, and read Psalms 91, which we know that's the prayer of protection. And so, like I said, knowing that the promises that he has given us, and then he also has given us his word, promises, I think that as long as we stay, you know, prayed up, we continue on in his word, we continue to let the Holy Spirit guide us, I really feel that, you know, no matter what we go through, because even he says, even when we have to suffer, we even have to count that all joy. I didn't like that before, because, I mean, who wants to suffer? Because I know
nobody.
I don't.
No,
But if we have to, now that I know, if I suffer, I have to count it all joy. I just have to say, I just praise the Most High, you know, for the truth. I praise him for, you know, for these talks and just for everything, you know. I'm humbled, and I'm just glad that he was long-suffering with me because, my gosh, I have been up and down, back and forth, and I just thank and praise him, you know, that he didn't close the door and shut me out, you know.
Thank you, man.
I'm just grateful.
Thank
you, ladies.
And thank you. And thank you for joining in, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, all righty. I praise the Most High for her. And she was one of the sisters that was at Tabernacles, and she was sleeping in her tent alone. I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah. Brave women.
I ain't barely sleep in my house alone.
This is what I'm saying.
Not a tent.
You must be getting strength on
her. I know. With Melanie and them went away that weekend, I stayed up in my room the whole time.
I was telling you. I've been in the truth a long time, but I still have I'm still, and you know what? Sometimes I think it's because I've never been alone. You know,
right.
I went straight from my house to being married, you know, and with someone always, I've always been around 1,000 people. And then all of a sudden, I tell you, when we were sick that year and they took my husband out of here and he went into the hospital, all the crazy things I'm telling you right now, I was scared to death. Oh, you know what? We are 90 seconds from closing. Isn't that the time went real fast?
That's amazing. Yeah. It went real fast.
Sister Aura, can you close us out in prayer?
Okay. Father, wow. Thank you, Father, for this evening. It was wonderful, Father. All I can say is, didn't our heart burn, Father? Thank you, Father, for bringing this type of stuff to our remembrance, Father. Letting know that we have to get closer. We have to continue walking. We have to continue that walk. It's not just, where they say, a sprint. This is a marathon, Father. So we pray that we can continue to reach out to you, Father, and seek your guidance, Father, and remember that suffering is a part of it, because the scripture that talks about we suffer for, it's on our part, is sad, but for your part, for the people watching us, it's good, Father. This is what will bring somebody to Christ. This is what makes it real to somebody, to see people actually suffering and to be at peace in their hearts, Father. So, Father, we thank you for all the people who called in, Father. We thank you for everyone who's listening, Father. And we pray, Father, that you will touch somebody's heart who's thinking about, I don't want to be a Christian or in the truth because I don't want to suffer like this. But this is what is going to make you the person that the Most High wants you to be. He is refining you, Father. He's refining us. We thank you for this, Father, and we thank you and we praise you, Father, that we will learn to look at things differently, to look at others more than ourselves, like your word said, so that we can touch someone else's heart to help them to become lovers of you, Father, instead of lovers of pleasures, Father. Help us to understand how much we need you and how much we need each other, Father, because we are going to that point, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the scriptures that were shared tonight. And we praise you, Father. And we ask you that we can just continue going through this, Father, and reading your word on a daily basis, Father, and just saying, because your servants are listening, Father.
Thank you.
And may pray in your precious son, Yeshua's name, Amen and Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Okay. All right, guys, we are off the air. All right. We pray you. Everybody have a blessed night. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Thank you.